in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. The Lord gave me a message for us today. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, Festival of Fire is usually interesting. There's usually the message God gives me before coming. Then there's usually another one that comes during the meeting by divine inspiration. Praise God. Subduing the spirit of the Antichrist. Subduing the spirit of the Antichrist. Praise God. We'll be looking at this briefly. Subduing the spirit of the Antichrist. How we can subdue the Antichrist spirit operating in these last days. Praise God. Let's read 1 John 4. 1 John 4 from verse 1 to 6. How we can overcome the Antichrist spirit that is at work in our world. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, okay, but try the spirits whether they are of God. So he said, don't believe every spirit, okay? Don't believe every spirit you see in display, in manifestation. Don't be gullible. You have to be discerning. He said, try the spirits whether they are of God, because the Holy Spirit is not the only player in the realm of the spirit. There are other spirits that operate too in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is like a market. There are all manner of spirits there. There are angels of God. Angels are spirit. There is the Holy Spirit. Then there are also demons, demon spirits. Am I communicating? Satan himself is a spirit. They are all there in the realm of the spirit. So he said, don't believe every spirit like that. You have to be discerning. He said, try the spirits. For some of them are the operation of Antichrist spirits, counterfeit spirits. He said, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets, you see, these false prophets are operating with a strange wrong spirit. They are operating with Antichrist spirits manifesting in various forms. Demonic spirits, familiar spirits, all manner. Praise God. So you have to be discerning, you see. He said, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How will you know? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is there any spirit that confesses the Lordship of Christ, that Jesus came in the flesh, is of God? Hallelujah. Jesus is God in the flesh. You know, there are people that don't believe that. Yes, there are people that don't believe that. There are some people that believe, oh, Jesus is a mighty prophet. He's a great prophet. But they don't want to hear that Jesus is God in the flesh. They don't want to hear that one. They don't believe it. Next verse. Is it every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God? You see that? You see that? You see that? Christians, are you listening? Because there are some Christians that are deceived. They think that all the religions in the world, we are serving the same God in different ways. That's a demonic deception. Islam and Christianity, we are not serving the same God. Hope you know. Look at it there now. In Islam, do they believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Do they believe that Jesus is God in the flesh? They don't. They only believe Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a prophet sent to the Jewish people. But they don't want to hear that Jesus is God. That is where you have problem with them. And the Bible says any spirit that does not confess the Lordship of Christ, that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh, he said that spirit is not of God. Shine your eyes. It's the operation of the Antichrist spirit that is behind all these religions you have in the world, including Islam. Praise God. It gives people alternatives to God, to serving the real God. It says, any spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. Very specific. So the Antichrist spirit does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh. Neither does he accept that Jesus is the Son of is the Son of God. And actually, is God in the flesh. Praise God. He said, this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Okay, he's telling you that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. Okay, next verse. Ye are of God. Hallelujah. We are not victims. No, no, no. He said, ye are of God. That word of is a Greek word, ek. It talks of origin. That means you hail from God. You originated from God. Your God is your source. Your origin is from God. Your genealogy is short. God gave birth to you. Am I communicating? You are his offspring by birth. He reproduced you. You are the reproduction of God. You are of God, little children. He said, and have overcome them. Who are the them in that context? He's talking of the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirits. Am I communicating? You have overcome them. Why? Look at the reason. Is it because you are very smart? Is it because of your certificate? Look at the reason. He said, you have overcome them because, help me. Greater is what? Is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Antichrist, Satan, all of that, they are in the world. But the Bible says you don't need to be afraid. You are not a victim. The greater one lives in you. And that's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. He said, greater is he that is in you than the Antichrist spirits in operation in the world. So you don't need to be afraid. Verse 5. He said, they are of the world. Therefore, spake they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6. He said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let me ask you, which one is the spirit of truth? Help me. Who is the spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. Who is the spirit of error? Antichrist spirit in the context. The spirit of error is the Antichrist spirit. It leads people into error. Deceives people, lies, deception, leads them to error. That's the Antichrist spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He said, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So he's the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. You now know who is the spirit of truth. Help me. Who is the spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. Who is the spirit of error? The Antichrist spirit. Glory to God. Now, you need to understand that there is a difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the person of the Antichrist. Can I have marker? There is a huge difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the person of the Antichrist. They are not the same. They are related, but they are not the same. Okay? The spirit of the Antichrist has been in operation in the world even as far back as Genesis. Okay? John reiterated that it's operating in the world. The scripture we just read. But the person of the Antichrist has not yet been revealed. The person of the Antichrist will be revealed in the world after the rapture of the church. Thank you, sir. Are you listening to what I'm explaining? I said there is a difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the person of the Antichrist. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. There is a difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the person of the Antichrist. Okay? Know the difference. Now, I said the first one has been in operation right back, as far back as Genesis. The spirit of the Antichrist is a demonic spirit, Satan's spirit. Okay? It has always been operating, influencing the world, influencing people. Am I communicating? Okay. Can you remember the serpent in Genesis 3 that beguiled Eve and made Adam to commit high treason? Do you know, if you study the pattern of operation, look up. Oh. The serpent was one of the cattle that God created initially. Okay? The serpent. It was one of the cattle. But it was possessed by the Antichrist spirit from the devil. And Satan now used the serpent to deceive Eve. Am I communicating? That was an operation of the spirit of the Antichrist through that serpent. But that was not the person of the Antichrist. Like I said earlier, the person of the Antichrist has not yet been revealed in the world. It cannot be revealed because the church, is the restraining power. We are the one restraining him from being revealed. But the moment the church is raptured, he will then be revealed. Am I communicating? That's the person of the Antichrist. But the spirit of the Antichrist has been there, is right now operating till today in various forms. Don't worry, I will explain further. Now, the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." He said, as God said, no, go back to the beginning. Look at what is happening. Verse 1. The serpent was more, give me New King James Version. New King James was more subtle. Okay. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, you know, which the Lord God had made. Okay? And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this what God said? Was this what God said? Talk to me. What did God tell Adam and Eve? God said you can eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the middle of the garden, right? But look at what the Satan, Antichrist spirit, speaking through the serpent. Look at what he said. What did he say? Now, if you study it now, you can see the way the spirit of the Antichrist operates from this conversation. It opposes the word of God. Can you see? Direct opposition. The opposite of what God said is what the Antichrist spirit is proposing here. Am I communicating? This is part of the operation of the Antichrist spirit. Is always in opposition to the word of God. It always opposes God's will. If God say go north, Antichrist spirit will tell you go south. If God say move east, Antichrist spirit will say go west. He wants you to violate and break God's word. You see, as God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. This is not what God said. Next verse. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Mm-hmm. She told him what God said. Next verse. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Next verse. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Can you see? This is how the Antichrist spirit operates. He wants you to live contrary to the word of God. He will always oppose God's word. He will always oppose God's word. Am I communicating? Always oppose the will of God. Always oppose the word of God. Anything God said, he wants you to rebel against it. Praise God. It's a rebellious spirit. He wants you to disobey God's word, disobey God's command. These are part of the operation of the Antichrist spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Next verse. He says, look at what he is proposing. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Can you imagine? Knowing good and evil. Seduction. Seducing spirits. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days, many will depart from the faith. He said, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's what the serpent is doing here. He is using the power of deception and seduction to make them to disobey God, to disobey God's word. Is that not what is happening in our society? That's what is happening today. You see people opposing what the Bible says, opposing what God's word says. They say, how can you say we should not have sex before marriage? Body no be firewood. Say, body no be firewood. You even see bloggers write very lengthy stuff just to promote sex outside marriage. It's part of the operation of the Antichrist spirit. The very thing God said don't do, they will look for reason why you should do it. It's the operation of the Antichrist spirit. See, as a young girl, if you don't have sex before marriage, you feel get fibroid. Say, hey, not true. Say, not true. So you better go do small. It's the Antichrist spirit. And many are falling for it. Are you listening? Kalabo satire. Deception. Deception. The devil is a deceiver. Monte Kebaya. The spirit of the Antichrist. Can you remember when Cain and Abel offered to God their first fruit? Am I communicating? They brought an offering. It was their first fruit. The Bible says, unto Abel and his sacrifice, God had respect. But unto Cain and his sacrifice, God did not treat it with respect. God didn't accept his own. God accepted Abel's own. He didn't accept Cain's own. And then the Antichrist spirit entered Cain. He came under the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist. And Cain slew Abel. He killed his brother. From envy, envy led to hatred. Envy and jealousy led to hatred. He hated his brother. So why will God accept his own sacrifice and reject his own? And then hatred led to murder. One day, he told Cain, come, let's go to the field. They were in the field, and then he killed his brother. It's not normal. He came under an influence. It's the Antichrist spirit. Am I communicating? The Bible told us in the book of 1 John that Cain was of that wicked one. Cain was of that wicked one. It's the Antichrist spirit that made him to kill his brother. Praise God. Have you ever asked yourself, how did Cain know that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected his own? How did he know? The book of Jasher told us how. Fire came down from heaven and consumed Abel's sacrifice. Am I communicating? You remember, just like Elijah prayed and fire came. That was exactly what happened though. But that detail was not included in the book of Genesis. It's the book of Jasher that has that part. And why did God accept Abel's own? It was because Abel offered to God animal sacrifice, blood. And remember, it is blood that atones for sin. This was after the fall of man. So Abel's sacrifice was prophetic of redemption, of what Jesus was coming to do. You know, God is a spirit, and it takes blood to appease spirit beings. But Cain did not have that wisdom. He only offered crops. He didn't offer any blood sacrifice. That was why God accepted Abel's. And Abel looked for the best, the fatted calf, the best. Hallelujah. And God warned Cain, he warned Cain before he opened himself to the influence of sin and the spirit of Antichrist. God said, why are you angry? God saw that he was angry. He said, if you had done well, if you had done better, won't you be accepted? He said, now sin is lying at your door. God saw that Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, was coming for him. He warned him, but he didn't listen. He was angry. Why will you accept his own and reject my own? And so you hate me, God. Until he killed his brother. The spirit of the Antichrist was what entered Nimrod Cush. Give me Genesis chapter 10. Nimrod. That was, you know, this one world government. It was Nimrod that started it from Genesis. So, am I communicating? He wanted to build. You see, is that spirit of the Antichrist? He wanted this new world order that you've been hearing about, that the new age are trying to promote. This new world order in which the Antichrist will come and establish. That's the person of the Antichrist. when he is revealed after the rapture of the church, you know, that 7 years before the second coming of Christ, after the church is raptured, that new world order, that we have one world government, one world economy, one world religion. The first person in the Bible that wanted something like that, wanted to build that, was Nimrod Kush. You remember the Tower of Babel? He was the leader. God said they should multiply everywhere. Nimrod Kush said no. So why should we be scattered? He said, let's build a tower whose top will reach to heaven, and let all of us stay together. And the world then, they had one language. They were seeing things from the same perspective. Eh? God said they should cover the whole earth. Nimrod Kush said, no, let's stay in one place. It's the operation of the Antichrist spirit. And then, let's build a tower that will reach up onto heaven. In case God wants to destroy the world with flood, we now have solution. This is our own way of escaping flood, or even to reach heaven. That's the Babylonian system that is being controlled by the Antichrist. Eh? They are trying to tell God, we don't need you. It's a system that promotes God's independence from God. Genesis 10 verse, is it 5, 7, give me 7. So, okay, 5. Give me verse 5. Let me start from verse 5. Okay, 7. Jump to 7. 8. Okay, and Cush. And do you know this Nimrod was a black man? Who knows that? Was from Africa. Eh? Cush. Cush means Ethiopia. Cush is Ethiopia. Is Ethiopia not Africa? Cush is Ethiopia. These are descendants of Ham. Ham that later gave birth to African continent. Praise God. Black guys are powerful. If only we use it for good. Praise God. Cush is actually Africa. It's Ethiopia, literally. You remember when Moses married an Ethiopian woman? Some other translation, instead of Ethiopia, you will see Cush, Cushite. Yes. So Cush and Ethiopia are used interchangeably. So it's a Cush begat Nimrod. So Nimrod was an African. Voila. He begat Nimrod. Now listen, Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Okay, next verse. He was specially gifted and very strong. Okay, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Give me the translation that brings it out clearer. That mighty hunter before the Lord. That word before the Lord, King James is not giving us the right picture. It's actually a mighty hunter against the Lord. That's in defiance of the Lord. A mighty hunter against the Lord. Defiance of the Lord. Let me get you a better translation that will bring it out clearer. That's Genesis 10 verse 9. Praise God. And look up, he was not a hunter of animals. He was a hunter of human beings. He was a hunter of human beings, not animals. Praise God. Mm. Okay. I want to read out the Hebrew rendition. That word before the Lord, that term before the Lord, it actually means in opposition to the Lord, in defiance of the Lord, against the Lord. Praise God. That's what I wanted you to see. So when King James put it this way, in your mind you will think that he was a lover of God, or you're on the same side with God. Mm-mm. I think this is some area of translator errors. You know, in the Hebrew, is actually he was a mighty hunter in opposition to the Lord. So he was operating in opposition to God, and actually is an operation of the Antichrist spirit. Now, you hear that he was a mighty hunter. Did you ever read he caught any animal? It was not a hunter of animal. It was a hunter of woman. What he does, because see, Nimrod Cush, God blessed him with supernatural, as in extraordinary strength. You understand? So it was difficult for other people to engage him in a fight and win. So that extra normal strength God gave him was an advantage. It was a gift. Now, instead of him to use it to serve God, he said no. Rather, he was acting in opposition to God's will. He was using it to capture human beings and subjugate them. And that is one of the ways the Antichrist spirit operates. It operates by subjugation, slavery. So he was a hunter of human beings. He will now bring them under subjection to his government. He will bring them into slavery. They will have to now be enslaved under his government. Praise God. Next verse 10. It says, and the beginning of his kingdom. You see, he was the first human being in the Bible to have a kingdom. And it was not God's kingdom. Neither is the kingdom he built to advance God's kingdom. Mm-mm. The beginning of his kingdom was what? Babel. You see? That you remember the story of the Tower of Babel in the next chapter 11. He was the leader of the people. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. You know, the Hebrew word Babel also means Babylon. Babylon and Babel, they mean the same thing, no? So you can see that the Babylonian system that he began was influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist. Till today, the controlling influence of the Antichrist spirit is what is operating in the Babylonian system. Championed by who? Nimrod Cush. Am I communicating? And what is Babel or Babylon? Confusion. Confused noise. Confused mixture. That's the meaning of Babylon or Babel. Confusion. Confused mixture. Praise God. It's under the influence of Satan. And if you read Revelation 17:18, you will see the judgment and destruction of Babylon or Babel. He said the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, but that was not the only kingdom he built. He also built Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Now give me Genesis chapter 11 verse 1. In the land of Shinar. In the land of Shinar. That was where the Tower of Babel was built. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Next verse. It says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. You see that Shinar again. And they dwelt there. Verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Next verse. It says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, they are all part of the operation of the Antichrist spirit. They didn't say, let us make a name for God. Let's make a name for ourselves. And Satan hides behind self to seek and crave worship. Am I communicating? The influence of the Antichrist spirit. Self-promotion. You see? Self-glorification. Not to glorify Jesus. Not to bring praise to God. Not to make a great name for God. So let's make a great name for ourselves. So you see what the spirit that is motivating it, that is not the spirit of God, is the Antichrist spirit. It's a list will be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And this is in direct opposition to God's will. Because God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill everywhere. But they don't want to. Can you see how the Antichrist spirit operates? Nimrod Kush said, okay, their leader. He said, let us stay in only one place. That is in direct opposition to the will of God. Next verse. He said, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Next verse. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. That's the power of unity. The people is one. They have all one language. You see. They were united, even in their perspective, their mindset. He said, this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do, even though it was pure ambition, pure selfish ambition. But God recognized the power of human imagination here. He said, these people, if I don't stop them, nothing can stop them. Am I communicating? God has blessed us with the power of imagination. It's just that some are using it to imagine and conceive the wrong things. You can use it for good. Praise God. God needed to come down. What they were building caught God's attention. Next verse. 7. He said, go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Next verse. So the Lord scattered them abroad from tents upon, can you see? God needed to scatter them, because that is actually his will from the beginning. He scattered them abroad from tents upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. That was how the project died. Praise God. So I wanted you to see that the spirit of the Antichrist has been in operation right from the book of Genesis. It's that same spirit that made Pharaoh to make a decree when Moses was being born that they should deal wisely, it was demonic wisdom, with the children of Israel, that they should what? Be killing their male children. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that came upon Pharaoh, that influenced him. Papa Idaoza said the Red Sea was becoming more red with the blood of the Hebrew children. They were killing all their male children. They would throw them into the Nile. They even told the midwives that anytime you help the Jewish woman, and if you notice that it's a male child, he said, kill the child. If it's a female, leave the female, let her live. Because they were afraid of their number, that one day they will join their enemy and fight against them and then escape. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's that same spirit that made Pharaoh to be oppressing God's covenant people for 430 years. It's that same spirit of the Antichrist. Even when Moses came with good news that Jehovah has spoken to me, he has appeared to me, and thus hear the Lord, let my people go. Pharaoh said, it's because you people are jobless. He told the Egyptian tax master, he said, increase their workload. Now, don't even give them materials, building this day again. Let them make bricks without straw. And the Bible said they made their life bitter through hard labor, such that they were even angry with Moses. They said, don't come and tell us nonsense. Say God appeared to you. You have made our problem to be worse. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that overburdens people with work to the extent that they will forget serving God. Is it not happening today? Talk to me, is it not happening today? Some people don't go to church again. They don't serve God. Ask them, they will say, my work, you know, pastor, this is my work. Will they work? Even Sunday will they work? It's that same system that has been operating in Exodus. Eh? It's that same system. It's the Antichrist spirit. It's the Antichrist spirit. Work. No time to serve God. End salary, chop money, but your spiritually you are dead. It's the Antichrist spirit. And the day the devil will strike, everything the person gathered, he can lose it in 1 second. Because Satan have ensured that he has disconnected you from God. Why deceiving you with money and salary? Is that same Antichrist? Is the operation? I'm not saying work is bad, but don't ever do any work that does not give you time to serve God. I don't care the salary. No matter the salary, any work that does not give you time to serve God is a demonic work. Is a strategy to kill you. That was what Pharaoh did, though. Overburden God's covenant people so that they don't even have time to serve God. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, least Satan should gain advantage over us. We are not what? Ignorant of his devices. Sometimes, but this is why sometimes it's even better to choose a job with a lower salary that gives you more time to serve God than to pick a job with arm robber salary but does not give you time to serve God. No time for God. That one is a trap. It's a trap Satan is setting for you. Praise God. I say praise God. Is that Antichrist spirit? Is the Antichrist spirit? Remember Nebuchadnezzar that made a great image in Babylon and commanded that at the sound of music and everything, everybody must bow. In Daniel chapter 3 from verse 1, everybody should bow to his image. It was his image, oh, they made as an idol, that everybody should bow to it. At the sound of music, everybody bowed except the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then some people saw them not bowing. They reported to the king. The king said, is it true? He wanted to be sure that at the sound of the music, you refuse to bow. He said, if you don't bow, you will burn in the fiery furnace. And they still refuse to bow. Say, our God is able to deliver us. Or even if he does not deliver us, we want you to know that we will not still bow. We will not compromise. We only serve Jehovah. We don't bow to idols. Nebuchadnezzar was mad. He said, what? He said, go and hit the fiery furnace 7 times. Utter. Throw these riffraffs into it. But God showed up as a 4th man. There was a Christophany there. Jesus showed up. Jesus did not send angel for their deliverance. He himself was there. Because they just honored him. They stood for him. Praise God. Idolatry, idol worship is actually Satan worship. Those that worship idol are actually worshiping the devil. And it's a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. Am I communicating? Is that same Antichrist spirit that operated through Jezebel? You remember Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, one of the worst kings of Israel, that excelled in wickedness above all his fathers before him. To make it worse, look at who he went and married. It matters who you marry. He went and married Jezebel, the daughter of Et Baal. So that Jezebel spirit turned Ahab into figurehead. It was actually Jezebel that was ruling. Because that's how the spirit of the Antichrist operate, by subjugation. They hijack power. You know, she was actually ruling. Her husband was just figurehead. She was the one deciding what he should do under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. And seduction is one of the operation of that spirit. Seduction. You saw how she wanted to seduce Jehu, the one God anointed to deal with Jezebel. Went and painted everywhere. It's coming. Doesn't know the anointing on Jehu. The oil on, you remember how Jehu was anointed? You know, Jehu was the one that finished Jezebel. He commanded that they should throw her from upstairs down. Her bones scattered. Dogs came and ate her body. It was Jehu. She couldn't seduce Jehu because the fire's flaming from his eyes. He's not seeing any lipstick or anything. For where? Do not walk. Praise God. It's a spirit of seduction. It's part of it. The operation of the Antichrist spirit. She hijacked power from her husband. She was the one deciding. She made sure that the whole of Israel left Jehovah and they started worshipping Baal. Baal worship thrived during the reign of Ahab because of his wife. Can you imagine a woman? She eats with 450 prophets of Baal. She had 450 prophets of Baal that was eating with her on her table. Can you imagine the demonic priesthood in the land? Just imagine. Anytime she wants to eat breakfast, she has 450 prophets of Baal. No wonder there was so much darkness in the land. Very terrible. The Antichrist spirit is what promotes all this Baal worship, worship of idol, other gods. See, Satan does not care who you worship as long as it's not the living God. So he will come up with alternative, different religion, Islam, Buddhism, traditional African religion, all manner. Is the Antichrist spirit. He doesn't want people to serve the true God. Am I communicating? Hola Gadaya. You see the Antichrist spirit manifest as Mammon. In fact, this is one of the areas that is getting so much result. Because he knows everybody wants money. Everybody likes money. So Satan has decided to hide behind money to crave human worship. Mammon. Even Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. That means there are people serving mammon. There are people. It's the Antichrist spirit manifesting as mammon, giving people alternative to serving God. Am I communicating? And mammon is behind the love of money. The love of money is proudly sponsored by mammon. Trusting in money is sponsored by mammon. Selfishness, greed, covetousness, these are manifestation of mammon spirit. Praise God. Praise God. There was a time, Julius Berger in Abuja. I stayed in Abuja. I did part of my secondary school in Abuja. Julius Berger was paying people double of the normal amount on Sunday morning for people to come and work for them. As in, don't go to church, come and work. Now, just imagine normal days, working days, Monday, Tuesday, down to Saturday. Let's say they were paying their workers, average worker. Let's say they were paying, per day, let's say 10,000. I'm just giving an example. That's normal working day, 10,000. But Sunday morning, 20,000. Do you know many Christians did not go to church again? They were going to work there. Mammon spirits is controlling them. It's a manifestation of the spirit of the Antichrist. It gives you alternative to serving God. You see, Julius Berger was telling people, he said, you go to church, you get nothing. In fact, they will collect money from you in form of tithe and offering. But you come and work for us, we give you money times two of the normal. What a temptation. And many Christians fell for it too. Am I communicating? So you see the spirit of the Antichrist manifesting in various formats. You understand? Idol worship, money worship of mammon. You see it manifesting in various ways. In Europe, one of the ways it's manifesting is sport, football, this one. You understand? The average youth in Europe don't like going to church Sunday morning. But they will be in the stadium watching football. Premier League. Am I communicating? You go to church, you see old people that are ready to die and go and be with the Lord. Where are the youths? They are in football stadium. They are in sports center. Because as far as they are concerned, serving God is like a waste of time. It's too boring. Let's go and look for something that is lively. Entertainment, sport. You understand? It's the spirit of the Antichrist that is at work. In the Islamic world today, is that same spirit of the Antichrist that is at work, responsible for alternative religion to Christianity. Terrorism is the spirit of the Antichrist. Look at this Hamas. Look at ISIS. Look at Boko Haram. Look at Al-Qaeda. All the terrorist group in the world. What do you think is motivating them to do all those things? It's the spirit of the Antichrist. You see the persecution that Christians are facing. You see them burning up churches, beheading Christians, passing terrible laws, Antichrist laws, against Christianity. Look at North Korea. What's the name of that their leader said that looks like a devil? What's that his name? It's a crime for you to even hold Bible, not to even talk of preaching. These are manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. Am I communicating? It's a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit against the gospel. They don't want to hear anything Jesus. Even in the media, you see that the media world now, in some quarters, they don't even like you mentioning Jesus. They don't want you mentioning Jesus, God. They say, just say universe. The universe helped me. You know, it's the Antichrist spirit. It's the Antichrist spirit. The name of Jesus is annoying to them. They don't want to hear it. Praise God. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than the Antichrist spirits in the world. We are looking at subduing that spirit of the Antichrist. Shortly, I will show you the strategies for subduing that spirit. Because we are not victims. But you need to understand the operation. You need to know what is happening in the world so that you will know how to tame that spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Paul, after the revival that broke out in Ephesus, in Acts 19, Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, such that the students in the school of magic, witchcraft and sorcery, they all gave their life to Christ. They burnt their books. It was a big bonfire. All their expensive magical books, they burnt it, because now they are now born again. They don't need it. And then guess what? The Antichrist spirit rose up. If you read that ending part of Acts 19, you'll see what happened. There was a riot in Ephesus. There was a riot. It's the Antichrist spirit. The devil was not happy. The revival that just broke out, the souls that just got saved. And then he started staring people. He said, this is that Paul, the guy that is making shrine for Diana. He said, he gathered all the people of similar occupation. He said, this guy, now he won't remove food from our mouth. See, now this solo is telling people that this Diana the Great, that's Artemis, the image that fell down from heaven. He's telling the whole world that this is not the true God, that we are worshipping a false God. Unagogri, he said, you know, say these guys are the one making the image of Diana. They are making serious money. They are making serious money. He said, if this guy is able to convince them, who will buy our, who are we going to, who will patronize us? That means we're out of business. So that means we'll be poor. We'll not have money again. Unagogri, they say we'll not go agree. Unagogri, oh yeah. Before you know, they started the riot. They went and grabbed Paul and his companion. They took the matter to the council. And the Bible says, for straight 2 hours, people were shouting. Some of them don't even know why they were there. Read your Bible. Is there? Some of them were not even aware. As if they just saw this thing, they just came and joined the shouting. Can you imagine? They don't even know the reason for the riot, yet they joined the shouting. And they continue like that non-stop for 2 hours. Until the clerk or something? That's to tell you that a spirit is influencing them. How can people be shouting for 2 hours and you don't even know why you are shouting? And you are still shouting. They came under a demonic influence. The people of the other religion, you see them. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. It's not normal. Before you know, jihad. Before you know, they have gone to burn one church somewhere. Israel is fighting with Hamas. What it concern you? Is that Antichrist spirit? It's not normal. Praise God. I told you that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in operation. It has been in operation. But the person of the Antichrist has not yet been revealed. Okay? Give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. while you are opening that, what is the meaning of Antichrist? Write this down. Antichrist has two meanings. Number one, against Christ, as the name implies, Antichrist. The first meaning is against Christ or in opposition to Christ. That's the first meaning of Antichrist. Against Christ or in opposition to Christ. The second meaning of Antichrist, which many people are not acquainted with, listen carefully. We said the first meaning of Antichrist means against Christ, in opposition to Christ. Now look at the second meaning. It means in place of Christ. In place of Christ or instead of Christ. Instead of Christ. Is a spirit that seeks to take the place or position of Christ in people's life. You now see that abomination of desolation that Daniel prophesied about, that Jesus later talked about. He said the Antichrist, that's the battle of Armageddon, when he takes over Jerusalem, he surrounds Jerusalem with his army, and then he will enter the temple. The temple that will be built. Right now, they've not built that temple, okay? If we enter the temple, that's the second half of the 3.5 years. The second half of the 7 years of Great Tribulation. If we enter and sit in the seat of God, the seat of Christ, in the temple, in the seat of God, and demand worship. That is trying to take the place of Christ. Take God's place in people's hearts. He will demand worship. Remember, during the reign of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, 666, it says, anybody without that mark cannot buy or sell. And the Antichrist will demand worship of his image. He will make an image and force everybody to bow to that image. That's the worship that they are supposed to give God. He wants to be worshipped as God. That's Antichrist. He wants to take the place of Christ. Give me Matthew 24 verse 5. Okay, we'll come back here. Matthew 24 verse 5. Look at what Jesus said when they were asking him what shall be. Okay, go back a bit. Go back a bit. When he foretold the destruction of the temple, from verse 1, he said, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. Okay, that's the temple at Jerusalem. Verse 2, he said, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? He said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple. Next verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's when shall these things, that's the destruction of that temple of Jerusalem. When shall it be? Number one. No. Holy day, verse 3. There were three questions they asked. The first, tell us, when shall these things be? That's when will that temple at Jerusalem be destroyed? Number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the second coming of Christ. Number three question, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? You see, they asked three questions there. Can you see it? And each of them, they are topics of theological discussions. Next verse. Because the second coming of Christ is not the same as the end of the world. I've taught you before, even the rapture of the church is not the end of the world. Some people think that the world will end when rapture takes place. No. The world will continue after rapture. You will just hear news on CNN, BBC, here and there, PRTV. that several millions of Christians just disappeared. They will explain it away. They say, oh, maybe it's some scientific phenomenon, or some Christians claim that it was rapture. They will just talk about it for a while. Life will continue. Then the Antichrist will later show up. So the rapture of the church is not the end of the world. In fact, 7 years after the rapture, the second coming of Christ is still not the end of the world. The world will continue. It's later. The end of the world is different from the rapture of the church, is different from the second coming of Christ. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth came. Now, that's actually the end of the world. Peter said, the earth shall be destroyed by fire. This earth, this particular one. And then, you know the way you roll away a rock like that, it will be rolled away and replaced by that new heaven that John saw coming down from the throne of God. Am I communicating? Jesus said, he said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, because Satan will come. You see, one of the most powerful weapons the spirit of the Antichrist uses is deception. Deception. Right from Genesis 3, how did Satan, through the serpent, made Adam and Eve to disobey God, to fall? Was it not through deception? It was deception. He said, guard against deception, because this is one of the main methods of operation of the Antichrist spirit. Next verse. He said, for many shall come in my name. You see, many shall come in my name. He said, this end time, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I am Christ. He says, and shall deceive many. Was he in Ibadan? I heard the story that there was one man that claimed that he was Jesus, and he had followers. You've not heard of the story? The so-called prophet claimed that he was Jesus, and people believed him. He had followers, he had disciples. Then one day he said, now is time for action. Was it that it was Jesus or Daniel now? I think it's Daniel, huh? I think it's Daniel. He said it was Daniel. That's Daniel in the Bible. He now says it's action time. You know, Daniel went to lion's den. So he now, him and his disciples said they should come and watch. He went to zoo. He went to zoo. Where do wild animals? Is it not a zoo? He went to zoo. And then now say, just watch. Just like Daniel entered the lion's den and shut the mouth of the lion, the man then entered lion's den in zoo. Oh boy, the rest in our story. That was it too. His followers watched how lion tore him to pieces. Foolishness, mumuness. That was how the man died though. Lion ate him. Jesus said, many shall come and say, I am Christ, claiming all manner of things, and they shall deceive many. That's the funniest part. You see, this end time, you have to be very discerning. You know, I have some pastor friends. They will be telling me their experience with some false prophets, some false people that are using demonic power, and some of them did not get to know on time until God helped them. But then me, I was wondering, I said, God, how come I've never had this kind of experience? It will be hard though. If you are a false person, if you are a false prophet or false apostle, if you are using demonic power as a man of God, if you come close, in fact, you can't even come close to me. It will be hard. If you ever near me, whether for friendship, I will know from day one. Honestly, I will pick it from day one. You have to be very discerning. You have to be very discerning. When we say discernment, some people think that you should be a prophet. No, listen, oh, there are prophets that have been deceived. You will now wonder, how come this prophet, that's genuine prophet of God, oh, how come he did not see that this person was fake? The people don't understand that the anointing upon is different from the one within. You don't discern with the one upon, oh, it's the one within. It's the anointing within that you use to discern, oh, not the one that comes upon you. So that's why a heavily anointed genuine prophet can be deceived. He may even associate with those false prophets without knowing. If his discernment is not sharp, if he has not developed the anointing with him. Am I communicating? You went to withdraw money from ATM. You just finished withdraw money. You just see one street prophet. Probably hungry one. Say, Yetunde, is that not your name? Do I know you? Say no. Do you know me? Say, God just told me your name now. As I'm talking to you right now, your mother is sick. She's in the hospital. In fact, that is why you are withdrawing this money. Say, ah, Naturo, do I know you? He say, no. Do you know me? He say, now say they start. they don't catch you with that. You know they enter the trap very well. Say, now, do you really want your mother to be well? Say, yes. Say, you just withdrew 50,000. Am I lying? He say, no. Say, you still have 150K in that account. As I'm talking, I'm seeing it. I'm going to pray for you. But thus saith the Lord, withdraw that 150 and put it at the apostle's feet. Now. You know, many Christians are very gullible. You see, thank God for AGMI. We are training you here. There are many Christians that have not been well trained, so they easily get deceived. I'm not saying there is no genuine prophet, but you need to be discerning. You need to be discerning. If I enter a meeting, if the man of God is not operating by the Holy Spirit, I will know. If he's using a strange power, I will know. If you are acquainted with God's presence, you will know when God is not in a meeting. But there may be manifestations there. Oh, you may even be seeing power manifestation and prophecies and all of that. But God is not in that meeting. You will never sense His presence. Anywhere God's genuine power is operating, His presence will be there. Because His presence is the source and secret of God's power. So anywhere you see power bankrupt of God's presence, in which there is no presence of God, you should know that that person is not using the power of God. He's not using the power of God. Once God's presence is not there, the person is not using God's power. He's using another power. Because if it is the power of God, His presence will be in that meeting. But question, how many Christians are acquainted with God's presence? Is it not when you know how your mother's egusi soup tastes? When you are used to your mother's egusi soup, won't you know if somebody else was the one that prepared the one they are serving you? You easily know now, because you are already used to your mother's egusi soup. But the problem is when you don't know how your mother's egusi soup tastes. So anyone they give you, you easily eat. But once you know your mother's own, and then somebody now serve you and say it's your mother's own, by the time you test it, no, this is not my mother's own. So if you are acquainted with God's presence through fellowship, through intimacy with God, you can tell when His presence is not in a place. and yet things are happening. They are calling name and phone number. There are manifestations here and there. But Christians that have not been well trained and they are not acquainted with God's presence, they will think it's the power of God. They will celebrate it as the power of God. So they get deceived. Just like they called Simon the sorcerer a wizard that bewitched the whole city using sorcery. Imagine what they called him. They said, this man is the great power of God. In the book of Acts 8, he said, now they said, this man is what? That he is the great power of God. Why? They are not acquainted with the original. Is it not when you know original 5,000 naira note, you will be able to spot the fake one? If you don't know how original looks like, how will you know when I give you fake 1,000 naira note? You won't be able to know. And that's a dilemma many Christians are in. Say, Father, I receive grace for discernment. I believe in the prophetic. I operate in the prophetic too. But I don't believe in the fake ones. Those ones sponsored by demon spirit, familiar spirit. I don't believe in those ones. And it takes discernment to know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, give me that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are you enjoying this teaching? Are you learning something? He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him. I told you that our gathering unto him is the rapture. The coming is the second coming. And we say the rapture is the surest sign of the second coming. And it will happen 7 years before the second coming. Next verse. That ye be not soon shaken in your mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that as that the day of Christ is at hand. Next verse. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Praise God. And that man of sin be revealed. That man of sin, the son of perdition, that's the Antichrist. Am I communicating? Which will be revealed after the rapture of the church. Okay? It says, before the second coming of Christ, the man of sin will be revealed. But there will first be a falling away. Okay? It's called the son of perdition. This is the person of the Antichrist. Can you see the difference? And I told you that the Antichrist, the person of the Antichrist, is like Satan incarnate. Satan, just the same way God came in human flesh as Jesus. The Antichrist is Satan in human form. It's an incarnate of the devil. Am I communicating? The person of the Antichrist, son of perdition. Next verse. It says, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. Now you see the meaning of the Antichrist there. One that opposes Christ, and then he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God. You see the second meaning of Antichrist. He seeks to take the place of God. He poses as God. He as God seated in the temple of God. This is the abomination of desolation Daniel talked about. Showing himself that he is God. Can you see the second meaning there? The two meanings of Antichrist are covered in this verse 4. You see it? Can you see it? Can it be clearer than that? So, the Antichrist spirit is what is influencing and controlling the systems of this world. The Babylonian system is under the power and controlling influence of the Antichrist spirit. That's why it is in total rebellion to God. You see, the world system controlled by the Antichrist is in total rebellion to God. In total rebellion to God's will, God's kingdom agenda, God's plan and purposes for man. And I told you that the system works by subjugation. The Antichrist system, the Antichrist spirit operating through the world's Babylonian system, promote complete independence from God. Even the music industry, you hear them tell Christians that if you want to blow, if you want us to really promote this your album and your music career, remove Jesus from all this your song. Remove the, you are calling Jesus too much. Remove him. Remove God. Use something else. Something more neutral. It's part of the strategy of the devil. It promotes complete independence from God. It promotes Satan worship. Worship of Satan. Rebellion against God. Against God's will. Against God's plans. Against God's purposes. Against God's kingdom agenda. It is an anti-God system. Praise God. The evil system operates by subjugation. It enslaves humanity to Satan's government. It enslaves humanity to what? To Satan's government. The Antichrist spirit also operates by deception, seduction. I've mentioned that. Seduction, deception. It operates by fear and intimidation. Romans 8:15 say God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of fear is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. It keeps people in bondage, in slavery, in captivity. Also, the spirit of the Antichrist is behind the persecution of the church. Thank God the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. But of what? Power. Of what? Of love. And of a sound mind. The Antichrist spirit seeks to control the world by capturing and controlling the seven mountains of influence. You see that? Revelation 17 verse 9. Especially the mountains of politics or government, the mountain of economy and religion. I told you these three mountains. Remember, the Antichrist, when he is revealed, I told you he is not coming with horns. Forget those movies that you see Antichrist with horns. Mm-mm. The Antichrist is coming as a good man. He will look like he's the savior of the world. He will look like the person that has a solution to the global economic crisis, the problems, you know. He will look like a savior. He will look like a good person. He will look like a man of peace. He will promise the world peace. And people will believe him because they will start seeing signs that those things he said is true. But it's deception. For the first half of the 3.5 years, is later, is the second half, the middle, he will break that peace treaty with Israel. The peace treaty, he will break it. You know, and then he will show his true color and his hatred for Israel. Am I communicating? He's a deceiver. He will look like the person that came with the solution to the world's problem. And the people of the world will trust him. They will believe him. Only for him to now reveal his true color later. Say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Of love and of a sound mind. Now, go. Let's finish our reading in 2 Thessalonians. Let's finish our reading. Praise God. Let's finish our reading. He said, let no man deceive you. Okay, move down, we've passed here. Okay, it says, the Antichrist, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God, seated in the temple of God, showed himself that he is God. Verse 5. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Next verse. He says, and now ye know what we told it, that he might be revealed in his time. You see, the Antichrist has his own time. This is not his time. That's the person of the Antichrist now. The spirit of the Antichrist that has been in operation is still in operation. But the person of the Antichrist is not permitted to be revealed because this is not his time. This is the church age. Am I communicating? We are currently in the church age. When did the church age start? From the day of Pentecost. That was when the church age began. And the church age will continue until the rapture of the church. Then after the rapture of the church, the age of the Antichrist, his own time will start. So he can be revealed. He can rule the world. And that is where there is going to be the new world order, headed by the Antichrist. One world government. He will control the world. But I told you, he won't have total control per se, because Russia and China will give him headache. Am I communicating? Russia and China are very funny people. They are neither here nor there. They are just Russia and China, he won't be able to control those two people. In fact, they will fight him later. You read the Bible very well. Bible talked about the Northern Army and the Eastern Army. The Northern Army is Russia. The Eastern Army is China. You know, they'll pass through that river Euphrates. Right now, the river Euphrates is dry itself. So the road for them to pass is already open. Those of you that are not warming up, you better be warming up. Rapture can happen anytime. It can even happen now as I'm preaching. If it's up me, I don't go. Don't say I didn't tell you. Praise God. If you think that the rapture is still far away, think again. Think twice again. Because almost everything is set for the Antichrist to come. The only thing delaying him now is the rapture of the church. He's just waiting for us to go so that he will show his face. Am I communicating? It's even possible that he's already in the world, sir, but it can't be revealed until we go. Am I communicating? Because this is church age. The Antichrist has his time. After we are gone, he can now be revealed. Then he will rule the world. There will be one world government headed by him. The whole world, the Bible talks about 10 nations, 10 kings in among those Europe. You understand? The Antichrist will come from Europe. He will come from Europe. The revised Roman Empire, he will come from Europe. Some people say European Union. The Antichrist will not come from America. It's Europe. And he's going to have his headquarters, his political headquarters in Berlin, Germany. You know, there was a time... These German people are funny. There was a time that they went and excavated the altar of Satan in Pergamon. You know this Pergamos? That among the letters John wrote, that God says you should write to the church in Pergamos. You know, specifically, the Bible let us know the seat of Satan was in Pergamos as at that time. He said, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. Talking to the church in Pergamos. So, Satan was his seat on earth, as in his operation headquarters on earth, was in Pergamos. Now, the altar of Satan in Pergamon, Germans went, people went and excavated it. They carried that altar. They carried it and put it in a museum in Berlin, in Germany. They don't know that they are looking for trouble. That's an altar. And according to eschatological study, the Antichrist, his political headquarters will be in Germany, Berlin, Germany. The Antichrist will have three headquarters. There is political headquarters, there is religious headquarters, then there is economic headquarters. I won't tell you the other two. Praise God. God is not eschatology class. Just be praying the day the Spirit will falleth upon me. We'll just do one eschatology study so that we'll go into details. You understand? It's not everything I know I teach. I teach what I'm led to teach. Praise God. But as we're entering the season already. Yeah. So just be praying. Say, Father, speak to Papa one day. Let him take a course on eschatology. And if I'm taking a course on eschatology, it's not going to be a one-day meeting. We might take one whole week like this. One whole week. Maybe 4 to 7 or 4 to 6 every day meeting. And use it to cover the whole of eschatology. Praise God. It's optional. If you like, come. If you like, don't come. Nobody will force you. Praise God. So we are not in the era of the Antichrist, okay? Go back to where we were reading. Go back to where we were reading. And now ye know what we told them. He said, do you know what is stopping the Antichrist from being revealed? Next verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. So, and then shall the wicked be revealed. So that means there is something that is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. And that is the church of Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Holy Ghost, which will be taken away at the rapture. So when the church is taken away, then it can be revealed. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God. Say, Jesus will destroy him. That's at his second coming, in the midst of that battle of Armageddon. Next verse. Is this the end? Even him, that Satan, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Remember, the Antichrist is going to have a prophet, a false prophet, that will be working with him, that will be performing all these lying signs and wonders and all of that. Next verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Oh, what a terrible state. Verse 12. He said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. You see that? But had pleasure in unrighteousness. 13. But we are bound. Oh, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to what? To salvation. Through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. And what? The belief of truth. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Oh, God uses the gospel to call men to salvation. You see why we must preach this gospel and double our effort. This is why we are holding meetings like GICC. God says he's going to use it as a sequel to reap the end time harvest. Am I communicating? This is our motivation. It's not because we are looking for fame or popularity. No. The gospel is our motivation. Jesus is coming soon, and souls must be saved. Glory to God. It says, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, it says, stand fast, hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Hallelujah. Revelation 17, verse 9. We say the Antichrist seeks to control the world by capturing. By capturing the seven mountains of influence. And we say especially the mountain of politics or government, economy and religion. Okay? That wicked spirit, that wicked antichrist spirit, steers men and systems to resist and hinder the spread of the gospel. Yes. The spirit of the antichrist does everything to hinder the spread of the gospel. It steers men and steers the systems of this world to oppose and resist Christ and his kingdom agenda and the spread of the gospel. It's part of their operation, their modus operandi. Revelation 17:9. He said, here is a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads that John saw in that vision, the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman seated. Who is that woman? Mystery Babylon. And what is operating in the Babylonian system is the spirit of the Antichrist. Am I communicating? It says that woman, Mystery Babylon, under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. He says he's sitting on the seven mountains. Those seven mountains we talked about. You now see the spirit that is at work in the world system, right? Praise God. I say praise God. But you don't need to fear. That's why we are here. I say that's why we are here. I told you this is not the time for the reign of the Antichrist. It's not his time. You know, the Antichrist is funny. He's agitating for control before his time is revealed. This is not his time. This is a church age. And Jesus has given us all authority and all power. So we can put him where he belongs. That spirit of the Antichrist, we can deal with it. So what are the divine strategies for subduing the spirit of the Antichrist? What are the divine, now that you have known the Antichrist spirit and the way he operates, what are the divine strategies for subduing that spirit of the Antichrist? 1 John 4 verse 4. The first divine strategy is the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Through the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of the Holy Ghost in us, the Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit upon us is our unparalleled supernatural advantage and the seal of our victory. Oh yes, we triumph over the Antichrist spirit and all his maneuvers and operation through the ministry, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Ye are of God. I read this scripture earlier. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who are the them in this context? It's the Antichrist spirits. You have overcome them. Now, what is the strategy by which you overcame them? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Ghost. The indwelling presence and power of the Spirit is our ever-winning strategy. The Holy Ghost within us and upon us is our unparalleled advantage. We are not victims. Am I communicating? Say with me, I have overcome the world. I've overcome the Babylonian system. I've overcome the Antichrist spirit. Because greater is the Holy Spirit that is in me than the devil that is in the world. Can you shout amen? Amen. Acts 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power. We are not victim, we have power. Satan has power, yes. The power that accrued to him as a fallen angel. But our own power is all the power God has. He has given us. Am I communicating? Satan's power is limited. Our own is unlimited. Our own is superior. Acts 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. So fear no devil. Fear no Antichrist spirit. You are bigger than them. I say you are bigger than them. The Holy Ghost in you has made you more than a man. You are not ordinary. You are a supernatural being. Number two, the second divine strategy for subduing the spirit of the Antichrist, taming the Antichrist spirit, is through the use of our God-given authority in the name of Jesus. Through the use of what? Our God-given authority in the name of Jesus. Matthew 28:18. Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name. All of God's authority is contained in the name of Jesus. He has given us all authority domiciled in his name. The name of Jesus carries and contains supreme authority and ultimate power. Hallelujah. Is the biggest name in the whole of the universe. The name of Jesus is the greatest name. It carries, it contains and carries all authority, supreme authority and ultimate power. Matthew 28:18. After Jesus resurrected, he says, Jesus came and spake unto the disciple. He's saying, all authority, give me NIV version, all authority, NIV, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And guess what? That authority is in his name. And he has given us his name for us to use. John 14:13. John 14. So the name of Jesus is not one cliche that you just use to end prayer. Mm-mm. You learn to use the name with understanding. In that name we can cast out demons. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Why? Because the name contains all authority in heaven and on earth, including authority over demons. Demons bow to that name. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. That under the earth is talking of the underworld, the kingdom of darkness. They all bow to the name of Jesus. So learn to use the name with understanding. You are not chanting the name like one magical. Mm-mm. Use it with understanding. Use it with revelation. You see, you need to understand the power of that name. And you need to know that Jesus has given you that name for you to use. And when you use the name, demons have no choice. They must obey you. Am I communicating? So use it with revelation. And guess what? Demons know when you don't use the name with revelation and understanding. They know. So that's why they don't listen to some Christian. In the name of Jesus, come out. The demons know that you don't even know what you are saying. They know that you don't have an understanding and revelation of that name. They know that you don't know that they are supposed to come out or obey you. So that's why they don't come out. You are not using the name with revelation. You are not using it in faith. But another person that has the revelation, understanding of the name, and is using it in faith, they will obey the person. Are you getting the point? This is why sometimes in accident, somebody will shout, Jesus, and still die. Is it because Jesus is dead and he cannot answer? Is it because the name of Jesus cannot save the person or deliver the person from the accident? No, there's no problem with the name. But question, the person calling the name, does the person have a revelation, understanding of the power, the authority in that name? Are you getting me? Because you can call that name out of fear. Will it work for you? If you chant the name of Jesus out of fear, you know, some people, anytime anything happens, it's like, it's as if they use the name of Jesus as exclamation mark to express surprise. Jesus! Have you met people like that? No, the name of Jesus is not for exclamation mark to express surprise and to express your fear. No, understand that name. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall eject, cast out demons. We cast out demons in that name. They bow to that name. When I use the name of Jesus, I know what I'm saying. I'm using it with revelation and understanding. When I command a demon to come out, it has to come out. Am I communicating? I do it powered by light, revelation, understanding, and faith. It has to come out. Wigglesworth prayed for a madman, Smith Wigglesworth, the apostle of faith. A very madman. He casted out the demon of madness in the name of Jesus, commanded the demon to come out. It looks as if nothing happened. There was no any manifestation, no any physical sign to show anything. The madman did not fall down. The madman did not even show any sign. In fact, after the prayer, he became more mad. He was manifesting more madness than before the prayer. Wigglesworth, after he exercised his authority, he left. The people that brought him, the relative of the mad person, they were begging him, please pray again now. It's as if nothing happened. You know, some people use physical manifestation to judge whether something has happened or not. Ah, you are still a baby. You are still a baby. There are times I minister to people, I cast out demons, they are manifestation. There are times that there is no any physical manifestation. My faith is not in the manifestation. My faith is not in the manifestation. Are you getting me? Don't put your faith in those manifestations. Understand what you are doing. Stand your ground in faith. The demons have no choice than to obey. They begged Wigglesworth, please come and pray again. They call him 5 minutes after. Say, ah, it's as if it's after this prayer that the madness entered gear one. Hear what Wigglesworth told them. He said, I have commanded the demon to come out. The demon has heard me. He said, the demon cannot disobey my authority in the name of Jesus. He said, I cannot come and pray the second time. He said, when I said it once, the demon heard me, and they have no choice than to obey. The people were looking at manifestation to judge whether deliverance has happened, but Wigglesworth had a higher understanding. He held his ground in faith. Several hours later, they still called him, complained the same thing. Wigglesworth held his ground. He said, that man is free. Eh? Which man? The man that is scattering everywhere with madness. Wigglesworth said the man is free. Guess what? By the following day, that guy slept, woke up, he was totally free. Now, that is a Wigglesworth, a man that understood his authority in the name of Jesus. When you are casting out demons, do you know they are supposed to come out when you use the name of Jesus? Are you aware? Do you have a revelation of that name? It's lack of this understanding that make people to waste precious hours, say they are conducting deliverance, from morning till night. So the demon will be using them to play game. They lay hands here. He say, ah, you are not supposed to put hand here. Is here. Put it here. Say, our Oga, the demon in charge, is here. Is here that is staying. So the man of God said, hey, I should remove it here and put it here. Okay, let me put it here. In the name of Jesus, come out. He said, the thing has moved down now. Look at you. You are taking instruction from the demon you are supposed to cast out. Isn't it a sign that you are being foolish? You are already being deceived. How can you be taking instruction from the demon that you are supposed to cast out? Am I communicating? One demon once said, he said, okay. Say, they say, come out in the name of Jesus. Okay, I will come out. But on one condition. Mona Clear Road. So when me I come out, I move straight. Anything along my path, I just scatter them. The people say, okay, they now shifted. Ah, Jesus. You don't know who you are. How dare you? How can you be taking instruction from demons when doing deliverance? That is one of the signs to show you that the demons are already playing you games. You are being foolish. You don't take instruction from them. They don't tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. Are you getting me? Some people went to cast out demon, and then the demon spoke. He said, have you not heard it is written? You know, demons know Bible. Have you not? You know, didn't the devil quote Bible for Jesus? Didn't he say it is written for Jesus? The demon spoke from the person they were conducting the deliverance for. He said it is written that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And all of you here, you have eaten breakfast this morning. At that point, all their faith died. All their faith died. This person looked at the other person and said, oh, not true. Not true. See, they couldn't do anything again. Their faith was dead. But another man of God that had understanding, that understood his authority. See, if you don't understand your authority, you will not be successful in deliverance, in casting out demons. You won't record success. I'm telling you the truth. You must understand your authority. And you operate based on that. Am I communicating? And you use it in faith. Am I communicating? This particular man of God came. Those people failed. They couldn't, because the demon told them they are eating breakfast. This other man of God that understood his authority came, commanded the demon to come out in the name of Jesus. The demon wanted to use the same tricks on him. He said, have you not heard it is written that this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting? But you ate eba. No, it was akpu. He said, you ate akpu and egusi soup this morning, so you can't cast me out. You didn't fast. The man of God laughed. He said, is that all? He said, even with pomo. He said, you didn't even see that one. Say, even with pomo. Say, I didn't just eat eba and egusi soup. I ate with pomo. Now, in the name of Jesus, I say, come up. You know, when the demon heard his voice, he know that this one, he understand, say, I suppose, come out. So the demon came out. Are you getting me? You know, sometimes demons like to play tricks. They like to play tricks. They are very intelligent creatures. So they can deceive you. They'll just be playing games with you. But when you understand your authority and know how to use it in faith, they have to come out. Am I communicating? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out them, including Antichrist spirit. So we can use the authority in the name of Jesus to break their influence over people's lives, over territories, over systems. You can step into a system. When you design the operation of the Antichrist spirit, you can use your God-given authority in the name of Jesus and break that influence. Luke 10:19. What does it say? Give me in NIV. It says, behold, I give unto you what? Power. King James uses power, but NIV brings it better. Give me Luke 10:19. He says, I have given you authority. This is Jesus speaking. I have given you authority. He has given us the power of attorney to use his name to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power. power, not some. All. Somebody say all. All the power of the enemy and nothing will what? We harm you. Sheleko vrahasida. Kilabatea. John 14:13. So you learn to use your authority. I say learn to use your authority. I say learn to use your authority. See, never fear any devil. Not even Satan. Even if Satan himself appears to you, you don't need to fear. You are superior to him. You are more powerful than him. You know, it's because of these Nigerian movies that have made so people, you know, people are afraid of the devil. Small cockroach, like Bobo will call it, scroach. There's a way Bobo calls it. Small scroach. Those, hey, blood of Jesus. Hey, blood. Before you know, they carry for pastor. Hey, you can't believe it. I just saw a demon now in form of cockroach. Appa, cast it out now. Somebody met a pastor. Went and met his pastor for counseling and for deliverance. See that my cat. Hey, I swear that cat is possessed. The way the cat is behaving. So pastor said, okay, what do you want me to do now? I said, come and do deliverance. Ah, pastor said, we have not finished with human beings. Now cat, who can they do deliverance for? We never finish with human beings. Now cat. He said, how? He said, you don't know what to do. He said, me, I can't come and pray for cat. He said, you can conduct the deliverance now. He said, how? He said, no be cat. No be demon. They need a body. If they can't get a human body, they enter animal. When Jesus casted out those demons from Madman of Gadara, is it not inside pigs they entered? See, demons seek human body as their highest goal to enter and occupy. If they can't get a human body, their next best option is animals. So if it is true that there are demons in your cat, say give them poison. Simple. Give them poison. If it die, won't the demons live? They are out now. We never finish human being. Now a cat, I will go to do deliverance. A butter. You understand? He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Hallelujah. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. He said, if ye shall ask anything in my name. In other words, demand anything in my authority. He has given us blank check. Just fill in the blank. Am I communicating? Demand anything in my name. And that word name, onoma, means authority. It talks about a character. He said, I will do it. John 16:23. He says, John 16:23. He told you've not asked anything in my name. He said, ask. He said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. In other words, in my authority, he will give it to you. Next verse. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You see, one of the greatest privileges of we New Testament believers is the right to use the name of Jesus. Do you know Old Testament saints didn't have this privilege? Elijah, Moses, David, none of them prayed in the name of Jesus. Are you aware? What a privilege. It will change your prayer life. Because his name contains all authority. It contains all power. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:21. Give me a message translation. Talking about the name of Jesus. Lego Bosa Bagadaya. Ephesians 1:21. Liboroskata. It says, in charge, Jesus is in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. Ah, I meditated on this scripture. Oh my God, I shouted. It says, this name of Jesus, the authority spans everywhere. It says, he's in charge of running the universe. See, Satan is not in charge. Jesus is. He says, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. Can you shout amen? And not just for the time being, but forever. For how long? Can you shout glory? Philippians 2 verse 7. The authority is in his name. Oh, I read this book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, by E.W. Kenyon, one of my mentors. When I read that book, it opened my eyes to my authority in the name of Jesus. You know, before then, I've always prayed in the name, but I was using it religiously. But when revelation and light came, I say, my God, I started using the name differently. Am I communicating? This time around, powered by revelation and understanding of that name, the authority in the name. He said, all authority. Am I communicating? Kenneth Hagin even wrote a similar book. I also read it, The Name of Jesus. And in that book, he quoted a lot from Kenyon's Wonderful Name of Jesus. So many quotes from there. He referenced Kenyon's book. It's a small book, oh, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. It's not very big, but loaded with light. If you see that book, buy it. Read it. It says, Philippians 2:7. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made like the likeness of men. He's telling you how he got that name by conquest. Next verse. He says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was humanity's substitute. Verse 9. This is where I'm going. Wherefore, because of what he did, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Can you shout amen? Amen. Verse 10. His name is above every sickness. His name is above every demon. His name is above every deity. Is it that at the name of Jesus, at his authority, every knee should bow? So every knee is supposed to bow. Am I communicating? Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. But hold it there. Do things have knees? Because he said every knee should bow. If I bow my knee to you, what does it mean? I'm submitting to a higher authority. I'm acknowledging that your authority is greater than mine. It's a sign of surrender. So question, do things have knees? So if you study that things there in the Greek, it actually talks about beings, of things and beings. Am I communicating? Spirit beings, angelic beings, demonic beings, human beings. Am I communicating? Angels bow to the authority in the name of Jesus. Demons bow, including Satan, to the authority in the name of Jesus. Human beings, they bow to the authority of that name. It's the biggest and greatest name. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Oh, I like to talk about the name of Jesus. Mandabaya. Everything bows in heaven, in earth, under the earth, in the kingdom of darkness. The power in the name of Jesus is not just in chanting the name. It's not just mentioning the name. It didn't say at the mention of the name. Did it say mention? It said at the name. So you can mention the name without understanding, without revelation. It won't work for you. Didn't even demons can mention the name of Jesus? Demons call the name of Jesus in the Bible. They did. You remember the demon that questioned the seven sons of Sceva's? He said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Who are you? Didn't they mention the name of Jesus? I know Mount Zion movie, they make it look, they don't mention the name of that righteous one. When they are acting those demonic parts, they don't mention that name. But actually, if you read the Bible, the power in the name is not in mentioning it, because even demons mention the name of Jesus. Eh? There was a time a demon told Jesus, he said, have you come to torment us before the time? He said, leave us alone, no. He said, we know who you are, Jesus, the Son of the God. You know, it was a demon mentioning Jesus' name. So the power is not just in the mentioning the name. It's the revelation, the understanding behind the name that makes it work. And you do it in faith. Am I communicating? Palakataya. Rondo bosefelete. Epreketiska bakatai. If a prostitute shouts, maybe Yahoo boy wants to use her for sacrifice. If she call upon the name in faith, the name will deliver her. Are you getting me? So whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Divine strategies for subduing the spirit of the Antichrist. Number 3, the power of faith. The power of faith. 1 John 5 verse 4. The power of faith. Unshakable confidence in God. Unshakable confidence in His word. Unwavering commitment to God and His word. Unalloyed loyalty to God. Am I getting? The power of faith. 1 John 5 verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So we overcome the cosmos by faith. We overcome the Babylonian system ruled by the Antichrist by faith. We subdue it by faith. Am I communicating? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, that subdues the world, that brings the world to its knees in surrender to us. What is that victory? Even our faith. Can you shout it? Give me this in amplified. Give me in amplified. Kelibo safrahadia. We subdue the operation of the Antichrist system by our faith. Whatsoever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is a victory that conquers the world. So faith makes you more than a conqueror. Can you shout amen? Amen. You can conquer the Antichrist spirit by faith. You can conquer the Babylonian system by faith. You can subdue cosmos by your faith. Hallelujah. Your faith is not inferior. It is made in heaven. It is a God kind of faith. Hebrews 11:32. You look at the exploit of faith there. And what shall I must say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets. He said, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. Am I communicating? Not doubt, not fear, not unbelief. Who through faith, not fear. We say the Antichrist system, it works by subjugation. It also works by what? Fear and intimidation. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casted out fear. Fear has torment. And the Antichrist uses fear to torment people. Am I communicating? But we are a people of faith, and we subdue kingdoms by faith, including the systems of this world. The kingdom of darkness. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. Can you remember Daniel? How was he able to stop the mouth of lion? It was the operation of the gift of faith. Am I communicating? The three Hebrew boys, next verse 34, they quench the violence of the fire. They quench the violence of the fire. How? Somebody shouted, by faith. That was how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was why they did not burn. Even though they refused to bow, they were a people of unshakable faith and trust in God. They trusted in God, and He was able to deliver them. Who through faith quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. 35. All these are exploits of faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. Can you shout amen? It's the gift of faith in operation here. The gift of faith raising the dead. It's a woman received their dead raised back to life by faith. So death is not an end. You know, in this world, once somebody has died, everybody gives up. No hope. It's like an end. But in our kingdom, he say even death is reversible by faith. Am I communicating? And he say others were tortured, and we were told why they were tortured. He say not accepting deliverance. Did you notice that the Bible did not say deliverance did not come for them? But they choose not to accept it. Why? Because they saw a greater glory in heaven, so they choose to die. Some people became martyrs this way. Am I communicating? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Angels of deliverance came, but they have made up their mind to go. You know, sometimes when you are praying for somebody that is very sick, or somebody at the verge of death, there are a lot of dynamics, you know. There are a lot of dynamics to this thing. Sometimes you will pray, yet the person will die. It's not really because you are not anointed or God cannot heal the person. Sometimes people have their choice. People have their own willpower. If somebody has made up his mind to go, there's nothing you can do to make them stay. Your prayer will not make them stay. They have made their choice. Because even God has respect for people's choice. Am I communicating? This mighty woman of God, Catherine Kuhlman, on her deathbed, when she was almost dying, they sent for her robot to pray for her in the hospital. But she told him, she signed that he shouldn't bother to pray. She was ready to go. Am I communicating? He said, these people, these other heroes of faith, that it looked as if their own suffer, and they were tortured, they were sown. Now, it's not because deliverance did not come. That's what I wanted you to see. I want you to see that God sent deliverance for them, but they choose to die to obtain a better resurrection. There is a greater glory in heaven that, if you go there, you won't like to come here again. I'm telling you, you won't want to come to the earth again. So they saw that greater glory, and then they choose to go. That was what happened to Stephen. Do you know, Stephen had a vision. He saw the heaven. He saw Jesus, and they were stoning him. All their stoning could not make him fall down to die. It was after Stephen said that, Father, unto you I commit my spirit, don't hold this sin against them. Then the Bible says he knelt down and died. But all the while they were stoning him, he did not die. That's to show you something. He was the one that chose to go. He saw the greater glory in heaven, and he chose to go. But Paul, they stoned him to death. His spirit came out of his body, but by choice he entered back. He said, for me to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I'm not going anywhere. So death is a choice. Am I communicating? I heard the story of a woman that she died and went to heaven. People were already mourning over a dead body on earth. An angel was welcoming her at the gate. She now said, ah. He said, this is heaven. He said, where is this place? He said, heaven. He said, ah. He said, well, this, my time, this is not, I'm not supposed to die now. The angel said, it's true. Ah. He said, so who will take care of my husband now and my children? He said, no, I want to go back. By choice. That was how she sneezed back to life. The people that were mourning, some of them ran away. She came back to life. So even in heaven, she had a choice. Whether to enter or not. Are you getting me? Are you learning something? There was one earthquake that happened in one country. I've forgotten the country. You know, the earthquake buried buildings and people. People were dead. So they were excavating dead bodies. After like almost a week after the earthquake, they were excavating dead bodies to do mass burial. And then, to their surprise, there was this body that they excavated. The person was still breathing. So this one is still alive. The only person that was alive. But then, by the time they rushed the person to the hospital, it was an emergency. So they tried, they resuscitated, revived the person. Later, when the person came out of unconsciousness, coma, then they started asking the person, how come you are still alive? He was the only survivor. He was buried underground. They excavated his body. Say, why? How come you are still alive? Hear what the person said. He said, when I saw the earthquake and the ground started opening, building, he said, I made up my mind that I'm not dying. So death is a choice. He said, I made up my mind that I'm not going to die. And see, what he made up his mind and said came to pass. Not even being buried underground for 7 days could take away his life. Hey. Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Say with me, I have the spirit of faith. I have the word of faith. It is in my heart and in my mouth. The word of faith is in my heart and in my mouth. I walk by faith, not by sight. I have the spirit of faith. I have the word of faith. It's in my heart and in my mouth. Glory to God. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, what is the fourth kingdom strategy for subduing the spirit of the Antichrist? You must possess a deep love for God. I talked about this on Sunday. I'm repeating it again. You must have a deep love for God. You must love God above everything and more than anyone else. Total devotion, complete dedication, and complete dedication, total devotion to God and the things of God. What is your heartbeat for God? Romans 8:28. He said, all things work together for them that love God and for them who are the called according to his purpose. You must be a passionate lover of God. You must be completely sold out to God and his cause. The Bible says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, Anyone that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he said, they are not of God. They are sponsored by the devil, the Antichrist spirit. Romans 8:35. You must be totally sold out to God and his cause. A deep-seated love for God. When you love God, you will love his kingdom. When you love God, you will love the things of God. You will love prayer. You will love his word. You will love the house of God. You will love the people of God. You will love the church of God. These are all manifestations of God's love. You can't love God and not love people for whom Jesus died. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation? Please be answering the question. He's asking a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Number one, shall tribulation separate us? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or a sword? No! No one and nothing shall separate us. Next verse. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Nay, in all these things, not before, not after, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Can you shout amen? Amen. Next verse. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. He said, I am persuaded none of these things. Verse 39. He said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. Can you shout amen? Amen. There are some people, small money have separated them from the love of Christ. Boyfriend have separated them. Nothing. Tribulation for where? Problems for where? Nothing. Persecution for where? Am I communicating? Never deny Jesus because of persecution. Love is stronger than death. No amount of death threats should separate you from the love of Jesus. Glory to God. Then the last key, the last strategy, the last one for today, divine strategies for subduing the spirit of the Antichrist, a lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle of what? Prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let me preach it to your neighbor. Pray without ceasing. Don't go on break. Don't go on holiday. Luke 18:1. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with thanksgiving. Acts 6:4. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and what? The ministry of the word. In Matthew 26:41 and Luke 22:40-46, you see where Jesus told Peter, James, and John that went with him to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before his arrest. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Am I communicating? Through prayer, you tame the flesh. Through prayer, you generate strength and power to conquer your flesh, to subdue your flesh, to subdue sin, to subdue Satan, to subdue temptation. Because prayer will help to strengthen your spirit. Praise God. We are in a warfare. Ephesians 6:18. We are in a warfare. It says we should pray with all manner of prayer. So we use our God-given authority and power in the name of Jesus to tame and subdue the operations of the Antichrist in the place of prayer. We rule in the place of prayer. We must take up the responsibility of prayer to break the controlling powers and influence of demonic forces over people's lives and over our territories, over our cities, communities, countries, nations. Am I communicating? We must rise and use our authority in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. We pray all manner of prayer. Prayer of worship, prayer of praise, thanksgiving, prayer of intercession, prayer of agreement, prayer of dedication, surrender, prayer of petition. Am I communicating? Prayer of faith, prayer of worship, prophetic prayer, all manner of prayer. In Acts chapter 12 verse 5, you can see from the beginning how the spirit of the Antichrist, you remember it was the spirit of the Antichrist that influenced Herod to kill all of Jesus' birthday mate. Who was the target? It was Jesus. That the angel had to appear to the father, he told him to carry the mother and the baby and take it, run to Egypt. He had to run to Egypt because he said Herod will seek to slay the child, and stay there until I bring you word. God needed to wait for Herod to die. Then another Herod, along the dynasty of the Herods, came up later and killed James in Acts chapter 12. He saw that it pleased the Jew. He went ahead to arrest Peter. You know, when James was arrested, the church did not pray for him. And there was no prayer deposit for him to withdraw from. Remember, when Jesus said they should pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, James slept. He slept. Three times Jesus came to wake them. They were sleeping. So perhaps he could have prayed the prayer that would have delivered him later from the hand of Herod. When we say pray, bank prayer, there is prayer banking. Because the evil day will come that you will need this prayer to help you. I'm telling you the truth. You can't withdraw from empty bank account. The church did not pray for James. They said, is it not Apostle James? Apostle James, with his pedigree, nothing will happen to him. The next thing they were reading in the newspaper, they have removed his head. There's nobody that doesn't need prayer. And you can't have too much prayer. The more, the better. Some people say we have done 21 days prayer and fasting for festival of fire. You never do. Why should we be praying again? So 21 days fasting for GICs. Say, he never do. He never do. We are just starting. That one is the icing of the cake. It's now we will start the real praying. There is nothing like too much prayer. The more, the better. Are you getting me? The more, the better. Now, when Herod saw, you see, it was the spirit of the Antichrist that made him to behead John the Baptist initially. And now he has beheaded James. And is now planning to behead Peter. But thank God the church woke up. The church woke up to our responsibility of prayer. Look at what the church did. Chain prayer. He said, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But, somebody say but. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 6. And if you read down to the end, you will see how God sent, because they prayed, God sent angels of deliverance. They went and delivered Peter supernaturally from that maximum security prison. There wouldn't have been deliverance. Peter would have been killed if the church had not interceded for him. Why do many men of God die prematurely? Nobody is praying for them. There is no enough prayer for them, backing them up. Am I communicating? This is very important. I know some men of God that place people on salary to pray for them. I know some apostles traveling all across the world, ministering here and there, that place people on salary. You know, there are people that out of love volunteer to be interceding for them, but there are those that they are paying salary to, just to pray for them. That's to tell you how important it is to pray for men of God. Because it says, strike the shepherd, the sheep will what? Scattered. They are the frontline commanding officers. They are the number one target of Satan. Your prayer can shield them. A man of God I was listening to, he said he had a plane crash one time, an American preacher. He said he had a plane crash. A lot of people died, but God spared his life. Then later, he was asking God, how come I had a plane crash that I almost died? Hear what God told him. He said, you don't have enough people praying for you. After that thing God told him, he went and gathered people. he formed a squad in his church. He said, you know, you people's job description, it's just to be interceding for me and my family and my wife and my children. I'm telling you, that was what the man of God did. Praise God. Never joke with praying for your pastor. It's very important. It's not your head that the devil is looking for, number one. It's your man of God, because he knows that if he hit that one, bam! He will hit everybody. He will hit all the congregation. Weaken their faith. Praise God. I will not die, you, but pray for me. No devil can kill me, you, but make sure you are praying for me. If I check your intercession list, if my name is not there, I will withdraw all my blessing that I've been blessing you with. Praise God. Is it where Aaron? Okay, if you read on, deliverance came. Because he said prayer was made without what? Season. Without season. Without season. We rule in the place of prayer. And later, their prayer did not just bring about deliverance for Peter. Their prayer mobilized another category of angels. Angel of judgment. That went and slapped Herod in judgment. And he was eaten of worms. Am I communicating? They dealt with that antichrist spirit operating through Herod. Through their prayer. Oh, when we rise, in prayer, things happen. No? You see, Satan can be making noise until we rise. You know, a bulldog can be claiming to be in charge as long as the lion has not showed up in the jungle. The power of a bulldog ends the moment the lion shows up. Am I communicating? And we came from the tribe of the Lion of Judah. So we too, we are lions. Satan is a toothless bulldog. Can only bark. Rise to your feet. He can bark, he cannot bite. Jesus has removed all his teeth and he gave us the victory. I said the devil is a toothless bulldog. We are the real lions. When we pray, things happen. I say when we pray, things happen. Timely prayer is important too. There are some people that are at the point of death. They will call me to pray for them. Even me praying for them knows that at that point my prayer cannot help them. I know that they will die. You know, there is timing to the things of God. Kenneth Hagin went to pray for a man dying. He wanted to lay hands. Holy Ghost removed his hand. It happened 3 times. Remove. He said, who is playing me pranks? He checked. Then the Lord spoke to him. He said, I'm the one. He said, it's too late to pray for this man. He said, this man have set laws in motion that is impossible to reverse at this stage. So there was a time that it could have been reversed. But now it's too late. Am I communicating? It's too late. Sometimes you, as I pray for people, I see that dark cloud, that spirit of death is already there. Sometimes it's too late. There is a time you can change things for them, but there are some other time it's too late at this point. Even me praying, I know that this person will not survive this thing. Am I communicating? That's why if you have every opportunity like festival of fire, you better bank prayer. Put it into fixed deposit. Fixed deposit. Let me tell you no more. Fixed deposit. Because you will need it. The days are coming that this prayer will bring you deliverance. It will save your life. It will save. I'm telling you, use every opportunity to pray. Are you ready to pray? Kalabasubrakatia. Leketosebelete. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Why are many Christians falling to temptation? Because of prayerlessness. Their spirit is weak. Prayer will help to fortify and strengthen your spirit so that you can subdue the flesh and overcome temptation. It takes strength to overcome temptation, and you outsource that strength from the place of prayer. I want you to lift up your voice. The first prayer is Zechariah 12 verse 10. Say, Father, baptize me with the spirit of prayer afresh. That's the first prayer point. Father, baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Zechariah 12:10. It says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitant of Jerusalem the spirit of what? Prayer and supplication. I will pour upon the house of AGMI. I will pour upon the house of AGMI and upon the inhabitants of Jos the spirit of grace and of supplication. Say, Father, baptize me with the spirit of grace. The grace for prayer. The grace for supplication. I want to hear your voice. This is not time to play. It's time to pray. It's time to pray now. It's time to pray now. Lift up your voice. Subscribe for fresh fire. He said the fire upon the altar must ever be burning. The priest will put in wood every morning. Malekobose belegida halabagida mandrobose felatena agabagadi sapalate rondo sofetila magabakata jalabata. My fire will never go out. Ileke buronde kibrekete. Father, set me ablaze.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.